And good afternoon. You're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK. Just finished Cutting Loose with a great pianist, like I had mentioned before, Mr. Dave Bass, from his release Gone. And in the background, none other than the lovely Mary Stallings. And he has a great American story. Now, of course, I'm going to let you talk to him. You'll listen to what his story is. But, you know, being in the legal profession, as well as a great pianist, and being able to master both, he's been blessed in many ways. And without any further ado, I'd like to bring Mr. Dave Bass on. How you doing, Dave? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks. It's a pleasure to be on, Jay.
It's a pleasure for you to grace the WCLK audience. It's very interesting after I read your biography of some of the great things you've done. And not only that, who you've been trained by. I mean, went to Berklee School of Music, if I'm not correct.
That's right.
And you left and was trained by the madame herself to be a pianist, the same person that trained Keith Jarrett.
Yeah, well, Madame Shaloff is really a legend amongst jazz pianists. She's not really that widely known to the general audience. She's not alive anymore. And I was very lucky when I was in Boston back in the late 60s and early 70s, she invited me to be a student of hers. And at that point, I didn't have much money. She didn't charge me for lessons. She had a very spiritual approach to music, where you just had to concentrate on really breathing into the piano, you know, to get a truly vocal sound from your whole body. When she first invited me to take lessons, you know, she said, "Well, you know, play something." And of course, I tried to play something that was showy and showed that I had some technique and all this. And she goes, "Well, that's all good. Now let me hear you play this just one note. Play this C." And of course, I wasn't doing it right. So a lot of the lessons really never got past being able to have what you would call a weightless arm, you know, being able to produce a really great sound out of the piano. But when she would put her hand under your arm, she wouldn't feel any weight. So the sound was coming all the way from your feet. So that was a very lucky thing. Like you suggested, I met Keith Jarrett at one of my lessons. He just came in, talked to her while I was there. Steve Kuhn is another person who's actually written quite a bit about taking lessons with her. Kenny Werner has as well. So that's something that was very lucky. Also, when I was in Boston, I got to study with George Russell and his Lydian chromatic concept. He was teaching at the New England Conservatory then. So I took lessons with him, and that really helped me develop my own compositional approach to things. So
you're lucky, but you have a different approach to the piano. You definitely have your own style and tone that she suggested to you. But one of the things that has really fascinated me about your life is, you know, after you had an accident with your wrist, you went into the legal profession and went to the highest rungs of the legal profession. You're a deputy attorney general, if I'm not correct, of California.
That's correct. In California, that's right. well, you know what happened was I had been pretty lucky. I'd had a fairly successful musical career, and a lot of people more talented than me back in the day, you know, weren't as lucky. It was music business rough, but I was able to finesse, you know, playing and earning enough money playing to have a decent life. And then, you know, fate had it that on my way to a what we used to call casuals, you know, a gig where you just be playing at somebody's party, essentially background music. I had my tuxedo on. I slipped in the parking lot on a pool of oil. And as I was slipping, and I still remember this vividly, I was thinking, oh, my God, I don't want to get my tuxedo dirty. So I caught myself with my right hand and, of course, was successful in not getting my tux dirty, but fractured my wrist. The doctor said, well, you know, you're going to heal, but there's no way of telling if you're going to have the same facility in your wrist that you used to. So at the time, I had my first daughter, who was a toddler at the time, and I realized I got to find another way to make a living, because there's just no way. The doctors are telling me there's no way of knowing, and I was in a cast for several months where I couldn't play at all. There wasn't even a chance to test my facility. So I figured I better do something else, and I thought I like to read a lot, and at the time I like to argue a lot. I'll make a good lawyer, you know. I have to argue and read.
So yeah, you picked another profession that you had DNA in. Huh? You had an investment.
Yeah, that's right. And I was lucky. I graduated from UCLA Law School, and you know, worked in the private sector for a while, and then then joined the Attorney General's office, where I still am as a Deputy Attorney General. And you know, it's interesting. The law is really, in a lot of ways, there's some similarities with music. You're really trying to communicate with people. You're trying to tell a story. I mean, it's not as creative a story as in music.
It's an interesting story. His life.
Yeah. So I feel really lucky that I was able to do that. And the interesting part, or one of the interesting parts, is that, you know, initially I really didn't look back at the music. You know, once I started the law thing, you know, even just going to law school, I liked it quite a lot, and I didn't really miss music, and I didn't really think about it. It was really a full time emotional and intellectual endeavor, and, you know, and like music, you have to practice your rear end off. I mean, if you're going to be a successful musician, you need to practice all the time and study the great musicians who've come before you, which I had done, you know, previously. And it's the same with the law. You have to really, it's a whole world you have to master.
Yeah, but you've mastered it, though. Well, no, I noticed on your last release, you mastered it with working with Ernie Watts, Baba Tuni Leah, Gary Brown, and Mary Stallings.
Yeah.
How did you encounter all these great artists and being in the legal profession?
Well, Babatunde was an old friend of mine from before I fractured my wrist.
Oh, okay.
So when I was in San Francisco in the 70s, I had been on the road with Brenda Lee for a year, touring around the world, and I landed in San Francisco, and that's where I got to know Bobby McFerrin, who I used to play with there, and Bob Sunday. Lots of great cats. And so I had known him back. We're talking now late 70s, really.
Okay, so you have a history with Baba Tuni Leah that led you to everyone else.
Yeah, that's right. And that's back in San Francisco. That's where I really became infatuated with Latin jazz and Latin music. It was a big, back then we used to call it the salsa craze.
You had a lot of great people. You have a lot of Pete Escovedo, a lot of great people in the West Coast, Bobby Montez, and the list is endless.
And so back then there was a lot of live music and a lot of live Latin music, because it's dance music.
I've always said that the dance music, even when the bebop era came in, Dizzy Gillespie brought jazz to America, and it changed the ball game. But you have
John Opozo.
Oh yeah, definitely. What I want to know, you've got for the audience, you've got a new release coming out. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. In fact, I was just going to segue into that. We're talking about the dance music. Yeah.
Right.
Phil Woods is on the new CD.
Right.
And one of the things Phil says, which is, which he said spontaneously, and you can hear his comments on, if you go to my website, davebassmusic.com, that's one word, davebassmusic.com, and there's a promotional video for the new CD, which is called New York City Sessions, and Phil says, you know, this is dance music. If you, actually what Phil says is, if you can't dance to this, you better sit down.
Very well put.
So yes. So
you've got the Lost Mambo on here that Phil is on as well on the new release. Okay. Then.
That's right. Bill plays just an incredible solo on that. Well, he's quoting Manteca and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And you know, in fact, on Lost Mambo, which I think you're going to play.
Right.
If you go to my, I hooked up a thing to link with this interview. So if you go to my Facebook, your audience goes to my Facebook page, which is Dave Bass Music, not just my name, but Dave Bass Music on Facebook. You can download. They can download a free link to that.
Oh, good.
So
good.
Yeah, so they can get. And it's because the album's not released yet, but they can get a preview.
You can get a preview. So you've got Lost Mambo on here. You've got the Baltic Bladder on here.
Yeah, those are both original compositions of mine.
Right.
I also got an arrangement of La Comparsa in a medley with one of my tunes. La Comparsa is by the great Cuban composer. And if I can say something just in general about the New York City Session CD, what I was trying to do there was weave really three different threads into one CD. And the one is just straight-ahead jazz.
Right.
And you hear that on the 60s and on the vocal Since I Found You.
Right.
And then the Afro-Cuban thing, which we've been talking about. You know, I got the great Ignacio Baroa on drums, you know, the drummer on many of Gonzalo Rubalcaba's great recordings. Just a Cuban who came over on the boat lift back in the 80s. And just a great guy and a stupendous musician.
You have you have Corrine Ellison here on vocals as well. The interesting thing about you also, you had this produced by Susie Reynolds, who is also Freddie Cole's manager, and Rufus Reed. So you're in good company, huh?
Yeah, that's
you're
right.
In great company. You're in great company. You know. I look forward to you traveling and performing with your style of music, and I like the way that you merge both worlds, because that's what I came up under, where jazz was playing. They were playing Latin as well as mainstream jazz, and everybody was having fun. And it makes a major difference, you know. And most of all, to the audience, I want to look forward to you coming and coming to play here at some point in Atlanta. And
I would love to do that, and we'll definitely be in touch when that happens.
You know, and you've mastered the language of modern jazz improvisation, and as they often say, the rhythmic secrets of the Afro-Latin idioms, and that's a quote from your CD. But I want to thank you so much for gracing the audience of WCLK, taking the time out in your busy schedule, and I'll have my contract ready for it, being that you can you're a lawyer. I don't have to worry about my musical contracts, right? you didn't think you were gonna get away, did you?
That's right.
You didn't think you were gonna
get away. That's right. So, well, it's been a real pleasure. I appreciate you giving a little preview to folks of my new CD, and again, I invite everybody to check out my website, DaveBassMusic.com, and the Facebook page with the same name, Dave Bass Music, where folks can download the tune you played, Lost Mambo.
Yeah, in fact, when we get off there, that's going to be the first cut I'm going to play, Lost Mambo. Thanks a lot, Dave, and I'll be in touch with you. I'll give you a call back, though, definitely, okay?
Okay, Jay.
I appreciate you, man. No, thank you so much, man, for gracing the time out, and, you know, and we appreciate you. Take care.
Keep swinging and keep playing all the great music you're playing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Take care now. Peace.